Let me say to start with that my wife and I are very honored to have been invited here, and it has been an honor and a privilege to speak to you all. I love to go to God's people and preach. And I love to preach to people I've never preached to before. It's not because I'm a good preacher or anything like that. I just enjoy the reaction of people when you preach. And I love to see when things I preach coincide with things that's being taught. And this message this morning is going to pick up where Brother Lesage left off. He wanted to go where I'm going this morning. So, brother, we're going to go there. And we're going to get it accomplished. If you'll turn your Bibles to John 5. And while you turn in your Bibles to John 5, let me please tell you that we appreciate, Tetra Cameron, all this church does in supporting y'all's missionaries. We're thankful to the Lord that Brother Pugh, Brother Annity, and Brother Sutherland have all found homes here at this church. We support y'all's missionaries, and the reason we do is because they're good men. I've known Brother Curtis Pugh for a long time. Brother Raul I just met, and Brother Dan I just met. But the Brother Pugh I've known for a long time, and preachers don't come, missionaries don't come any better than Curtis Pugh. And let me also say that I love your pastor. He's been a blessing to me. I met him right after I became pastor 10 years ago in Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Texarkana. I met him with Brother Kennison over in Mansfield. It's the first time I met Brother Jerry, and I've been with him many times since, down at Oakdale, which I go every year, and down at Silsby, which I try to go, and he's just a blessing to my heart every time I hear the man preach. And it's an honor and a glory to my Lord and all that he does to have used this man in such a way that he used him. You are a most blessed church. In John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and live. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given life to the Son to have life in himself. Do you get it yet? We're talking about the Son of Man here. Verse 27, and he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed is of me is true. And 33 will be our last verse. Ye have sent unto John, and he beareth witness unto the truth. We want to focus this morning on the subject of the voice of Jesus. We have a religious society in America today, and in the world, called Arminianism. Back in the old biblical days, in the New Testament, the great opposition to Christ and the great opposition to the apostles and the teachers of churches back then was called Gnosticism. And it was a heresy taught. And today we have what we call Arminianism. Charles Finley started a lot of it. But anyway, what it is, it's an untruth. See, I'm a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist preacher because God is sovereign. God is not what people have made him. Christ is not what people have made him. Our God is sovereign. We're simply a clay, and he's the potter. He molds us and makes us what he wants us to be. If he wants you to be a pastor, Brother Jerry, he will make you one. And if he don't make you one, you're not ever going to be one.
Right.
You might pastor a church, but you're never going to be a pastor. If you're not a deacon made by God, you're never going to be one.
Right.
You are what you are by the grace of God. That's what Paul told us, wasn't it?
Right.
I am what I am by his grace.
Yeah.
So when people cast out all of these old cliches about making decisions for Christ, about praying sinner's prayers, about doing something, jumping through hoops, jumping off of buildings, whatever, in order to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, they are wrong.
Right.
They are liars. I'm not bold. I'm not going to be bold. I'm going to be bold today. Because it's important that people understand God saves sinners. It is not up to us. The Lord told us in Romans chapter 3, that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeks to thank God. There's none that wants him. They may want religion. They may want to be Christians. They may want to go to church. They may give their time. They may give their money. They may even give what little heart they have. But it is not according to the knowledge of God. They are wrong.
That's right.
I hope that you're saved this morning. I pray to God every one of you are saved this morning. But I'm telling you this, and I'm going to prove it this morning in the scriptures. If you have not heard the voice of Jesus, you're not saved.
That's right.
The voice of Jesus Christ brings salvation to mankind. Remember Jesus. Go back, and we're not going to go there. I preach these messages, and I stray a lot. I wander a lot. If I don't stick to my notes, I may preach 2 weeks or 3 weeks on this one message. I mean, it's just amazing. The two sermons I taught yesterday and the night before, I preached about 8 or 9 weeks on them. So in saying this, if we go back and look at Jesus, think about the men fishing. You remember them? And when Jesus walked by the seaside, Jesus told them, "Come, follow me. I'll make you fishermen of men." Now, those two men must have just huddled up in the corner, Brother Jerry. And they must have talked about this because Daddy's going to be mad. Here this guy is on the seaside telling us, "Come follow him. What are we going to do?" No, what they did is they straightway dropped their nets and followed Jesus. They heard the voice of Jesus. They heard the voice of God. And Jesus walked through the villages, through the towns, calling people out. And then all of them that just immediately, straightway follow him. He didn't go begging them. He didn't go pleading with them. He was a pastor on his knees. "Please come down this day. Please come here this day. Kneel down and pray this prayer with me." No. Jesus spoke, they followed. See, Jesus is God. We must in our minds separate the Son of God and the Son of Man to understand what both of these mean to us. Like right here in our scripture, the Lord talks about what God gave him. God never gave the Son anything. The Son is God. But he gave a lot to Jesus, didn't he? He also gave him a voice. And we that are saved have heard that voice. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The voice of Jesus begins or brings salvation to mankind. There's not a question where salvation is found. It is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We spent the last two nights preaching about the suffering of Jesus. And whenever people teach that works or baptism or anything else is a part of salvation, they are condemning Jesus' death. They are saying it wasn't enough. I'm sorry, but He is God in the flesh. It has to be enough. God said it is just payment. And therefore, His death was payment enough for you and for me and for all the other millions that's ever been saved. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. Jehovah God.
That's right.
There is one God. And only one mediator between God and man. Who is He? The man Christ Jesus. That's who He is. Nobody else. It's not Pope John or Pope Andrew or Pope anything else. It's Jesus. These men are heretics. It's Jesus. It's not Benny Hinn or Jimmy Swaggart or any other preacher on TV. It's Jesus. It's not the pastor of First Baptist Church. It's Jesus. And it is because He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm testifying that Jesus Christ is a Savior. If you're going to be saved, you have had to hear His voice call you. Go to Ephesians 1, if you will. Salvation came because of His glorious death and the shedding of His precious blood. And therefore, since He is the Redeemer, He must be the one that must give life. God has given Him life to give us life. Life comes from God. All life does. See, this is a problem that the evolutionists have. Is they can't explain, they can't tell us or prove to us where life came from. And their big rebuttal to us is, where did God come from? Well, God didn't come from anywhere. He always existed. But life comes from God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Nothing about anything else, is there? Nothing about church membership. Nothing about baptism. Nothing about works. Nothing about anything but the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. Now, if you'll turn to John 11. John chapter 11. There's no doubt that salvation is in one single man. And that man is Christ Jesus. In John 11:25, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou thus? Do you believe it? Have you said in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior? I'm telling you now, everyone that works as part of salvation or baptism or makes decisions or choices or anything else hasn't heard the voice of Jesus. Because you cannot believe, and this is something I had trouble with for a long time, because I couldn't bring myself to understand how that all these other tens of millions of people in the world that believed all the different religions or all the different beliefs in the world have to be lost. But I'm telling you, and this is the question that I ask myself to answer that question, how can they be saved? If the blood of Jesus is the cleansing power of our sin, and Jesus is the mediator between God and man, then how is it that Jesus is only a part of salvation? If we don't believe in Christ, if we don't believe what Christ has taught here in John 11, how can we be saved? He is the Savior. He asked at the end, do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe in your heart that Christ is the Son of the living God? Secondly, and we're going to Romans 8. Now we're going to get more into his voice, which we titled this message. Salvation comes because we are called and we answer. My father, back when I was born in 58, was a deacon in a Baptist church in Commerce, Texas, a little town. And we moved to Sulphur Springs, Texas, back when I was very young, back in like 61, 62 in that area. And my father got out of the church and got turned into an alcoholic. And the rest of his life was spent drinking his life away, and he died at age 54 from his diabetes and everything else that was wrong with him. I was talking to a Baptist preacher because I worked for him, and I was talking to him about my father and how he turned from being a deacon in a church to being a drunk. And he told me, he said, well, I think what might have happened is God was calling him to the ministry and he refused to go, and then he just turned into a drunk to keep the call from coming. Now, I was young at the time and non-sovereign grace at the time, because I didn't understand all that until I got to learn the sovereign grace, and I learned how ignorant that it was. We do not refuse the call of Christ. We do not refuse the call of God. If God wants you to be saved and he calls you, you will answer. If God wants you to be a pastor and he calls, believe me, you will answer. When I went to Texarkana, I didn't go there to be a pastor. I was looking for a church for my daughter, and I went there to investigate the church to see if it was worthy of having her as a member. And I went there and got to know them, and every Sunday for the next year and a half or so, my wife and I drove 100 miles up and 100 miles back, and then I'd go to work like at 1 o'clock on Sunday, Monday morning, and drive almost all night after preaching all day and driving all day. I did that because God wanted me to do it. I never asked the Lord, because the Lord put it in my heart to do so. And then when I was invited to be their pastor, or called to be their pastor, in March of that year, I accepted the call. I didn't even have to think about it. I knew where the Lord wanted me. Well, notice here in Romans 8, verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, some of them are the children of God. No, that's not what it says. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the children of God. Every single solitary one of them answered the call of Jesus. You say, I thought it was the Spirit. Jesus is the Spirit. We'll see that in just a minute. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember Saul of Tarsus? Remember when he judged in the first church, the church at Jerusalem? Remember he was there to hold the coats of them that stoned Stephen to death? Remember how evil of a man he was? Remember what he was going to do on the road as he was traveling, when all of a sudden the Son of Man came to him? Saul, why does thou persecute me? Lord, I'm a Jew. Don't come to me. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, what will you have me to do, Lord? He answered the call when Jesus called. Completely turned around. He was a good Jew. Circumcised the eighth day. Everything, all the ordinances, he done them all. He was a glorious Jew. He hated Christians. He wanted to seek them out and kill them. He wanted to put them in jail. He wanted to have them for dinner, whatever. He hated Christians. All of a sudden, he's won. He left all of that. And you have to wonder how it happened. It happened because Jesus came for a visit. And he called him. Just like when you were saved, whether you realize or not, if you're saved today, you have been visited by Jesus. And when he came, you didn't have to make a decision. You didn't have to make a choice. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to be baptized. All you had to do was to cry, Abba, Father. You'd already been led. The word led in verse 14 means to bring or to drive. See, God don't drag us against our will. He drags us willingly because we're willing to come. Not before Jesus calls, but when Jesus calls, they make us willing. That's the reason we can answer Abba Father. That's the reason Saul of Tarsus turned around so fast from what he was. That's the reason evil men in this world have been saved through time. That's the reason you're saved today. You weren't a pretty person to God. You were a sinner. You were one at enmity with him. You didn't want God. People that are lost, they don't want the Lord. You know what they want? They want to serve their God. I was telling you, Pastor, we have a Pentecostal preacher there in Texas that comes on the radio, and his message is the truth for today. What's the truth for today? It's a bunch of lies. That's their truth. Because they don't want to hear about a God that saves sinners. They don't want to hear about a Savior that calls. Because not everybody's going to be called. I don't know who they are. I can't answer that question. I don't know who the elect of God are. But this I do know, is that Jesus called and we answered. And these people apparently haven't heard the voice of Jesus. John 11, if you will. John chapter 11. Oh, the voice of Jesus is powerful. Because he is the voice of God. That's the reason he's so powerful. My voice is not powerful. Your pastor's voice, as wonderful as preacher as he is, I'm sure as wonderful a pastor as he is, his voice is not powerful.
That's right.
You teachers, your voices are not powerful. What is powerful is the message and what the Spirit of God does with the message.
That's right.
We preach messages in pulpits today because God has directed our hearts to preach them. I told our church when your pastor asked me in March, I get allergies real bad. When your pastor asked me in March if I would come and preach a revival, I said, yes, I would. Because I wanted to come here. I wanted to visit with y'all. I wanted to enjoy some fellowship with you all. And then when he sent me the email in, what was it, April, I guess, because we had to set my vacation, because the only time I can go somewhere is when I get a vacation, because I work 5.5 days and I pastor church on the 7th day. So I have no other time to do anything else. So my weeks are full. So I have to take a vacation to do anything. But when I talked to him and confirmed that you all wanted me to come, I immediately told our church, our Bible conference is in September. I said, I'm not going to concern myself with Dennis Strange until after our conference. This is in April, September. Immediately, I gathered together the messages I preached last night and the night before, and I preached them long before September. In fact, I led into our Bible conference with those messages. And I told the church, I said, these are my first two messages at Denham. I have no idea how I'm going to get them preached, but I'm going to figure some way out because God's going to make sure it happens. Then when I preached this message to our church, I said, that's one for Denham. And I had my messages already set long before the Bible conference. When I said I wasn't going to mess with them until after. See, I have no right to say anything. God directs our hearts and He will lead us the way He wants us to go. I have no right to say where I will be tomorrow, what I will be doing tomorrow, and neither do you. We're simply the clay. God is the potter. He will make us what He wants us to be. Every time your pastor preaches, he preaches because the Lord has given him a reason to preach it. Every message is for someone. It may be for many of you. It may be for all of you. And some of you may be bored stiff with me right now. But that's because the message may not be for you this morning. Or it may not be that you're interested in the Word of God. But for whatever reason it is, notice here at the voice of Jesus in John 11, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, in grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loosen him and let him go. 4 days after this man died, he was already wrapped, buried in a tomb, laid there 4 days. His sister said, Lord, he stinks now. And Jesus said, come forth. And he heard the voice of Jesus, and the dead lived. Exactly what Jesus does to us that are lost. We are dead. My father-in-law explained that to me the first time I learned it. He said, Brother Randy, you know exactly what that means? I said, well, brother, I assume we're dead. He said, no, you're not just dead. He said, you're dead. He said, your corpse dead. He said, that's what that word means. He said, when your corpse dead, you're like a cold corpse laying in front of a pulpit at a funeral waiting to be buried. You are that dead where there's nothing in there. He had a young man one time that was going to be a preacher. Ricky Jennings was his name. And Ricky had got tied in with some Armenian preachers. And he's having a hard time with the sovereign grace of God. And Brother Hammond told him, said, Brother, this is what I want you to do. He said, you go out to that cemetery and you select you 5 gravesides. And he said, you preach to them. He said, they're not going to hear me. They're dead. He said, everybody you're preaching to that's lost is dead.
That's right.
Said, you can no more move them, make them alive, than you can those in that cemetery out there. They've got to hear the voice of Jesus if they're going to live. Life comes from God. It does not come from Jerry Falwell. It does not come from Billy Graham. It does not come from Jimmy Swagger. And it sure doesn't come from Benny Skinny Henny. Benny Henny, if you don't know him from that. He's our, well, you know who he is. Galatians 4. So we see the dead in the grave. Been there 4 days, stinking, hearing the voice of Jesus, and life came to him. The dead hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they live. Remember what he said back over in John 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many, God never calls one that he does not receive a reaction immediately from. When God calls, we answer.
That's right.
We don't ponder it. We don't think about it. We're just like those fishermen. When God called, they immediately dropped their net and followed Jesus. That's what we do. We drop our nets, we follow Jesus. And Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has set forth His Spirit, or the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have the Spirit of Jesus. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. He's God. Don't ever forget that. He's God. He's the Son of God. And He sends His Spirit into your hearts, Not into your mind, but into your heart. See, God communicates with our hearts. He don't communicate with our minds. Our minds are affected by our hearts. Our hearts is our guide, because that's where the Spirit is. See, the Spirit's in you. If you're saved, He's never left. And if you're not saved, the Spirit's not there. He may be someday. I can't tell you who's saved and who's going to be saved and who's not. But listen here. Verse 7. I got to hurry. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are special to the Lord. You become a child of God. Think about that one. I just taught a series from Revelations to our church, the latter part, the second coming, that is the second phase of the second coming, which is the millennium, and also taught the rest of the way through the book of Revelations there, and we saw all the things taking place, but we saw the new Jerusalem coming down. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. That's our city, folks. That's our city. We are the children of God. We're not angels. We don't turn into angels. I get sick and tired of people saying we're angels when we die. Oh, Roy, he was a wonderful singer, and now he's this angel singing praises to God. He's not an angel. If he's there, he's a son of God. Better than an angel. John 10, if you will. Another passage of my favorite scriptures. My top five. I probably got a million top five passages of scriptures. But the voice of Jesus is unique and recognizable only to the elect of God. You know when you will hear the voice of Jesus? Only when it's your due time to hear the voice of Jesus. See, you take this young man here with Buck Pugh. When he was saved, he's the only one that heard the voice of Jesus. He could have been there around 10 people, and they wouldn't have heard the voice of Jesus. Remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus was with other people. They didn't hear Jesus. He heard him. He talked to the Lord. They probably thought he was crazy. And when he became to know the Lord and said, Lord, what will you have me to do? They probably robbed and left him. I'm telling you right now, the voice of Jesus is effective. But it's effective to those that it's directed toward.
Right.
Not only did God choose you to be His child, He also made a way for you to be the one to hear Him when He called you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see a sinner coming to repentance. The angels in heaven rejoice. Not because they made a decision, not because they made a choice, not because they prayed a prayer, but because the miracle of God had worked. In John chapter 10, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Who does? The sheep. See, I'm a firm believer, and we're going to stay there for a minute. And I'm sorry if I run this over for lunch. I know y'all have told me not to worry about it, but I do worry about it. I'll get through here too, but this is getting exciting. Anyway, when I lost my train of thought here. Oh, when the porter opened the door, we don't open the door. They had this big cliche going around Texarkana for some time on these stupid signs. Do you hate church signs as bad as I do? I think them are the most asinine things I've ever seen in my life. Why not put a scripture on them?
Amen.
You know why? Because it's just not as intelligent as that pastor is. He's got a sharper mouth than that scripture does. He just knows how to manipulate people and to bring them in, don't he? Poor God, he just simply cannot do it. But anyway, I lost my train of thought again. Huh? Oh, he opened the door, yeah. He opens the door that you can hear. That's the reason Saul heard. That's the reason this young man heard. That's the reason you heard. God opened the door, and the sheep hear his voice when the door's open. Oh, I know where I was going there with that stupid side deal. Anyway, for a while around Texarkana, I read a sign at Oakland Baptist Church, I think it is, or in Texarkana. The nail to heaven, or the key to heaven, is hanging on a cross or whatever. I said, really? The key to heaven is hanging on the cross? My Lord said he's no longer on that cross. My Bible says he's been resurrected from the dead. My Bible says he's sitting next to the kingdom of God. And he's not a key, he's the door. You know, I think we have it wrong. I think the door is Jesus and the key is the gospel. And the gospel opens the key, or opens the door. Because the voice of Jesus is heard. And we know which door to open. Anyway, let me put that up there. Get messed up here. He calleth his own sheep. Hey, you. Yo. No. By name, doesn't he? Because he knows every single solitary name. I was telling Brother Jerry about a video we have called The Wonders of God. If you have Netflix, it's on there. Just search for The Wonders of God. If you get Netflix on your computer, the movies, it's on there and it's free to watch. But it is the most wonderful thing because it talks about God and his mighty, powerful mind. And his great, wonderful power of how all the stars, we don't know how many, do we? Really? They say 250 billion stars to a galaxy, and there's like 250 billion galaxies. I don't know how we know all that, but whatever they say, that's okay with me. I know it's an awful big place out there. Right. And I know there's days and years and mega years to just some points of it out there. And it's got to take a long time to get to the third heaven. The only way you're going to get there is through Christ. But God has every star in the heavens. I don't know how many they are, but he has them all numbered and he has them named. Amen. He knows your name. Amen. He knows your name and he calls you by name and leadeth them out. See, these men didn't reach a decision to drop their nets. Jesus called them and led them to him. Jesus called you and led you out into salvation. Jesus called you and led you out to this church. You're not a member of this church by accident. You're a member of this church because God put you here. He builds the churches. He does. He puts every member in it as he will have it to be. Now, let's move on real quickly to verse 4. And when he putteth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How is that possible? We never heard that voice before. He never called before. See, we were elected before the foundation of the world. I'm a firm believer that the fold was assembled before the world was created. Yeah. See, I'm a believer that we stray from the fold when we're born. And I'm also a firm believer that Jesus comes and captures each one of us because we're precious to him. Yeah. And he takes us and puts us on his shoulders and carries us to the fold. We don't walk by ourselves, we're carried by the Lord. We're delivered by the Lord. In fact, in John 6, he talks about us being drugged by the Lord. For they're his sheep, and they follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There's a lot of demons out there. Satan has religions out there, and we don't recognize them. They think we're supposed to be open-hearted to them. We're not to be open to nothing, folks. We are closed to the Lord. We are closed to the Word of God. We hear the voice of God. When a man walks through them doors, your pastor invites him, and he walks into this pulpit, the most holy place here, and he stands in the presence of this pulpit, and he looks at y'all, he better preach truth. If he don't, if someone in the church don't stop him, shame on y'all. Because you're not going to recognize what he's saying. You're not going to recognize his voice. Because it's not the voice of God. It's not the voice of the head of the church, Jesus. Oh, I'm almost done. 1 John 4, if you will. I'll kick it in high gear. I know y'all are hungry. I'm feeding you right now. So when you're full of this, we'll go over next door and fill our bellies up. The unconvicted, the non-convicted, will never hear the voice of Jesus because it's unrecognizable to them. 1 John 4, if you will, verse 4, says, You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is our God than Satan. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, because the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You do, don't you? You can tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, a lot of people have confusion about them. They think that they can go over to the First Baptist, Second Baptist, or Third Baptist and enjoy playing baseball or eating watermelons or playing tennis or playing in a band or singing in a choir. It's okay that they don't preach no truth as long as they've got something for me to do. I'll tell you what, God has something for you to do. It's sit at the feet of your pastor and learn. Church is not a place of entertainment. It is a seminary of learning. There is no seminaries outside the church. When you get involved in seminaries, you know what you get involved in? You have to allow things in that shouldn't be there. The best seminary in the world is right here with Jerry Dobson teaching you. These other men teaching you. Listen to them. Believe me, I know your pastor. He knows what he's talking about. He's a wonderful man. Let's go down to John 10, if you will. Back to John 10. And I'm going to finish it. If you give me another 5 minutes, I'll be finished. I know you said not to hurry, but I do concern myself with anything. There is no changing of the will by man. You can't just change what you are. There is no decisions on man's part. There is no turning over a new leaf. It's simply hearing and following the voice of Jesus. Now, this is a chair. I know this chair don't have a mind. I know this chair just sits there. And what it does, it sits there for someone to sit in it. But I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to watch that chair, because I'm going to ask that chair to make a decision to be a human. And I want to see it evolve into a human. You say, well, it can't. It's just a chair. It has no mind. Neither do the lost. They have no understanding of Christ. They know nothing of Christ. They know nothing of the salvation of God. How can they? They refused it. 7,000 souls walked up to Jesus while he preached in John 6, and 7,000 souls left Jesus standing there with the 11. 7,000. You know, I get insulted if one person comes in and walks out before I get through preaching. I couldn't imagine getting done and everybody just jumping up, walking out, and not saying anything. See, this didn't happen to me. This didn't happen to Brother Jared. This happened to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he didn't call one of them. None of them heard his voice. They didn't hear what he said. What he said made them angry. What I say makes people angry. What Jerry says makes people angry. They're not hearing. They're not communicating what we're hearing. They don't hear the voice of Jesus in the messages. See, Jesus is the head of the church. That means he controls them. Every one of them is his. He controls everything about them. In John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Turn over real quickly to John 18. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou the king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. And to this end was I born. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear the witness unto the truth." Listen, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. They didn't believe him. They thought he was a devil. They accepted him as a devil because they didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. Now let me ask you this simple, basic question. How is it that people will turn from what they are, the sin that they love, the life that they love, to serve a Christ that they know nothing about? Why was it these men simply dropped their nets straightway and followed Jesus? Why was it that you, all of a sudden, repented and turned and started hearing those messages? I know that before you were saved, you really didn't hear the messages. Your heart was dead. It couldn't understand. It couldn't hear. It's when the voice of Jesus comes and quickens you, and all of a sudden you hear and you respond to the voice of Jesus. 1 John 4. There are two scriptures I'll finish. The lost will hear our gospel if they are convinced or convicted of the Holy Spirit of Christ. That's the only way. I know your pastor, he's been preaching a long time. I've been pastor for 10 years. I've got people in my church that thought they were saved, that were actually supposed to be members of our church already. That one time that I preached, and they said, "Uh-oh, I'm not saved." They thought they were saved. They were convinced they were saved. They were members of the church, so to speak. But they really weren't. Folks, a lot of people make that same error. If you have not heard the voice of Jesus, you have not saved. You may have done something to convince yourself that you're saved, but you are not saved if you didn't have an experience in your heart. I'm not talking about something just stabbed you. I'm talking about there, it might have been general. It might have been just a sudden thing. Or you might have went for weeks and months. I'm lost. What will I do? I'm lost. Pastor, I'm lost. I remember a preacher telling me that people come to them and say, "I'm lost." They say, "Okay, well, believe on Christ." "I'm lost. I'm lost." And they go on for days and days and days and days. I'm lost. What will I do? And one preacher told the very same truth that I've heard many times since, and I love it. Stop trying to be saved and believe. Remember, Jesus said, "Believeth thou this?" That's what he meant. Do you believe that there's life in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior of mankind and Him alone? Do you believe in the power of God to save your soul? And this is the most important question of all. Do you believe in the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all your sins? I say that sometimes, and people tell me, you know, I've sinned in the past and I just can't get over it. Why can't you? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Not just some of them, but all sin. He says in 1 John 4:6, "We are of God." Listen, "He that knoweth God heareth us." See, I know you that's smiling and shaking your head and saying amen, you're hearing what I'm saying because you're children of God. And you hear it to be true because you're children of God. "But he that is not of God heareth us not." You're bored right now. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're probably bored right now.
That's right.
Waiting for lunch. I'm going to get you to lunch. But I got something more important than lunch for you.
That's right.
I got the offering of salvation. Today, it's a day of salvation to those that believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hereby we know that we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John 13, this will be our last scripture, I promise. Last one I got on the page. If I turn the page, oh, Brother Lucius is right, it is on fruit. He already knew. He's not a prophet, he knew that. I already told him what was happening. Anyway, John 13:20, I'm sorry, brother, you might have wanted to think you're a prophet. No, he didn't, I'm just playing with him. I've got to know him through the internet, through Facebook, and I love him to death. Anyway, in John 13:20, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." It's just like a domino effect. You hear us, because in our messages, you hear the voice of Jesus. This, folks, is the voice of Jesus. I don't care if it's Old Testament, New Testament, I don't care where you go. It's all the voice of Jesus. Jesus Christ did not come into existence. He's always existed.
That's right.
You know what? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I know my wife's going to get me. You always get that wrong. Okay. But the important thing is here, when they looked into the furnace, there was four.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the fourth one like?
Son of man.
Son of man.
Right.
He don't exist before Mary had him. He's always existed. He's the Son of God. Who do you think God made the deal with in eternity past? Called the eternal covenant. Who do you think God gave us to? The Son of God Himself is God. John said, "I see one sitting on the throne. I see God. And next to Him, on His right side, I see Jesus." When Stephen was dying, he didn't say, "I see God." He said, "I see Jesus. I see my Redeemer. I'm coming home. And the Lord's there with me. He's going to bring me home." See, Stephen was really happy because he saw Jesus. I can't imagine what it's like to see Jesus. I can't imagine what it must have been like for those men and women that followed him as disciples, around and heard him, boys, like John said in 1 John, I saw him through my eyes, I heard him in my ear, I touched him. Elvis, let me touch you! No, let me touch Jesus! Elvis is nothing! Jesus is the Savior. President's nothing! Jesus is the Savior! You're rock heroes! Other heroes in life, they're nothing. They're just man or woman. Jesus is God. Precious Savior that gave His life and shed His blood for your sins as your Savior. God bless you.